The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Right, it's time for What to Watch. We're joined in studio by entertainment journalist Serena Bellissimo and Dee Reddy, podcaster and cultural commentator. Guys, you're both very welcome. Can we start with a big release tomorrow and one I imagine will have cinemas packed out across the country? The latest offering from John Carney, Power Ballad. None of us have seen it,
but we've
seen
it. I'm
really looking forward to it, I have to say.
Do we all feel like we have seen it? Because when Paul Rudd was in town, we'd get snippets of him being around town. And the one that really stands out, and it's one that's in the trailer as well, is, and it's still a bit surreal to me, Paul Rudd walking out of Lifestyle Sports in Dundrum Town Centre.
It's a bit of the Matt Damon with the super value moment.
Yeah, that's his moment. But this is the latest one from John Carney. It stars Paul Rudd. He is an American singer who in the 90s almost had a career. But then he met his wife, who's played by, is it Marcella or Marcella?
Marcella, I think.
Marcella would be Italian.
Yeah.
So
Marcella.
Okay, we'll go with Marcella. Marcella Plunkett plays
his wife. She's brilliant in everything.
Yeah. She is. And so in this, she plays his wife. And actually, I saw John Carney talking about this and Marcella, because if you don't know, they're married.
She's John Carney's wife.
Yeah. And she actually turned to him and went, more kissing? I'm happy to do more kissing of Paul Rudd. So she plays his wife and he turns his career to wedding singing. He's playing at a wedding.
There's a brilliant line where he's asked as a young musician, where do you see yourself in 20 years' time? And he says, Madison Square Gardens. And then it cuts to he's playing in this hotel called the Madison. He's playing at a wedding. He's a wedding singer at it.
And this is what I love, because John Carney himself was saying, you know, usually you see a lot of films about stars and people who have dreams and how they make it big. He wanted to focus on people who had dreams, looked like they were going to make it. What happens when you don't actually make it? So he didn't make it. He's playing at the Madison. He meets a singer who's a pop singer who's played by Nick Jonas. He gets up on stage and sings with him. Then they end up back in his room and they write this banger of a song.
And the Nick Jonas character, his career is in the doldrums, but this song rescues his career, but he claims it as his own.
And then there is the whole story. Now, I haven't seen it, but I will say this is getting rave reviews. The Guardian have actually called it a terrific comedy of bromance and betrayal. Gave it 4 out of 5.
As did the Irish Times gave it 4 out of 5 as well.
The story behind it as well is it's meant to have been loosely inspired by this guy who claimed to have met Robbie Williams.
I know that story. Was it Angel?
That story?
It was about angels. Yeah. So he claims to have helped, and this is all he claims, right? Yeah. But he claims to have helped Robbie Williams write the song Angels.
It was a guy from Dublin.
They met at a party and a kind of after party even, and had a big night out together. And according to this chap, that he was involved in the writing of Angels. Now, there's never been anything confirmed or denied on that front, but it was the kind of kernel that led to the story of Power Ballad, which I love.
That's
because
brilliant.
It also, you know, it with John Carney being Irish, obviously it roots it in the Irish diaspora as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, if it's anything like Once or Begin Again or Sing Street, it'll be an absolute banger out in cinemas from tomorrow. Let's talk the Four Seasons, guys, because I was really surprised how much I really liked the first season of the Four Seasons, if you know what I mean.
I loved it. Loved it. I actually had a funny moment with my partner where I had gone to bed watching it and I was so enthralled by it. He came in from work. He was working in hospitality. He came in from work and there was just a big scene, a big moment had happened in it. And I was sitting there illuminated by my laptop screen, bawling, crying. And he was like, Jesus Christ, is everything okay? And I was like, a really sad thing just happened in the TV show I'm watching. But that's how much it got me. And it's funny that, you know, you say that you loved it. I absolutely loved it. It seems to be Marmite for the critics, though. It's either 5-star reviews or it is being absolutely trounced.
What don't they like about it?
I don't know. I mean, I think if you're familiar with Tina Fey and Tina Fey's oeuvre or even Steve Carell's, that's kind of more out there comedy. But this is the original series is based on a 1981
Alan Alda
film.
Movie,
who made a cameo in season 1.
He did.
And so it's a lot more, it's observational, it is very, very like wittily written.
I in a way I'm kind of surprised you guys like it as much as I did, because I think it's kind of aimed at at my age group and people who've been married for 25 years.
Oh,
or whatever.
You charmer, you, Shane. Goodness.
But it is a real commentary on kind of long-term relationship, the highs, the lows, the challenges, the upside. And
everything that goes with it. But I think those sort of things, when they are well written, they are universal.
Yeah,
the feelings behind them. And I think it is so, it's so sharply written. I've only seen episode one of the new series because it started today. And it's the same gang, it's the same format. So basically it's called The Four Seasons. Brilliantly soundtracked by your man Vivaldi, by the way.
Yeah. Explain the Four Seasons element to it.
So basically the premise of it is that you have this group of pals, long term friends.
College friends, I think.
Yeah, essentially. And they go on four holidays together once a year. So a lot of the action...
And camping, like fancy places.
Well, I think there's one in the first season when they do glamping and it does not go well. But you basically get to check in with them four times a year, and then each of those holidays is dispersed over two episodes, so it's an eight episode long series. So it's the same gang.
We should say the holidays are all in spectacular locations.
It's barring the glamping one.
Barring the glamping one. That was organised by Steve Carell's younger girlfriend. Yeah. Which is also hilarious. They're all sucking in their stomachs and everything when she's around.
It's so well done. And then this series, they're the same gang by and large, and you have a new baby as well added into the mix, which is great because seeing a group of friends that age having to revisit their own early parenting life by interacting with somebody else's baby is interesting.
And also questioning whether or not they want to become parents too. Like I got an early screener to this, and before I knew it, I went, no, it can't be finished already, can it? I'd binged all eight episodes.
Really?
It is so well
done.
Were you
in the dark?
No, it's so well done. And I love that you don't get the day-to-day goings-on in these friendships, but you get to see the big moments lived out, and you still feel quite a connection to them. This is excellent. They do go to Italy this season as well.
Nice.
It is, and they go there for Christmas.
On that, you know, it's just as you're saying that there, you don't see the day-to-day things. But you know that thing they always say is you'll really know a friend when you go on holidays with them. A holiday forces a certain level of day-to-day intimacy with people that you wouldn't necessarily enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so it brings out the kind of more extreme behaviours.
Yeah, I think four holidays a year with your pals, that's asking
a lot. It's a lot. And especially if you are a partner of rather than one of the core friends.
Yeah.
That's really well done. I think the first series for me, the standout star was the actress who Carrie Kenny Silver. She plays Anne, Steve Carell's ex-wife.
Yeah.
She was superb. She's one of those people you would have seen in loads of things over the years.
Yeah.
But in this so far anyway, Will Forte seems to be the standout.
And come here, series two, because when I heard it was a series two, I kind of wasn't sure because I really like season one, but sometimes I think, you know, they drag the backside out of things.
There's enough to go with this one because we won't ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but a major thing happens in season one. And the first few, the whole season is about the fallout from what happened and how each person has been impacted by what happened in season one.
Okay.
And then, but they also move it forward, right? So you do have one couple questioning whether or not they want to have kids now. And then Shane, when it ended after eight episodes, I was like, I want more. And I'm really hoping the way that they've ended it, hoping we get a season three. And I don't want to ruin it. There's a great special guest at the end of season two that you'll go, oh no, we need a season three to see what happens
amazing.
With that person.
Okay. Where is it on?
It's on Netflix.
Netflix.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Just out today.
All right. I have to say, I think I'm looking forward to watching it. The Four Seasons on Netflix. What else you got for us guys, Serena?
ABBA Elementary. Did you watch this, Dee?
I have no, not a fan.
Not
a fan. I just haven't. I've missed the boat.
Abbott Elementary on Disney.
On Disney Plus. I don't. And Dee's the reason why I asked is that's the reaction I get from most people over here.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not aware of it. It's a school drama.
It's a school based drama created by Quinta Brunson. It's based in Philadelphia. And the schools there, they don't have a lot of budget. It's what they can do for a small amount of budget. That sounds really serious, but it's not. The serious stuff gives you some really funny stuff. Cheryl Leaf, Ralph is in this. The characters in this are hilarious. We had so there's five seasons. We had up to part one. Yesterday, part two dropped. And my son and I, and look, it's probably not for under 10s, but anyway, my son and I have watched six episodes already. Okay. There's another eight available. It's just really
good.
Would
you watch it without your kids?
Yes.
You would?
Because it's not made for kids.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if I get Mum of the Year for letting my son watch it, but it's not that risque. It is aimed at the adults because it's about the teachers, the relationships they have, the school system, what they go through. It's actually so funny. If you're looking for a comedy that's like 25 minutes long, it's really short, it's really sharp. And over the five seasons, I haven't got bored. And it's something that you can keep going back and watching time and time again.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Dee, I've seen the promo for this and I don't know whether it looks absolutely brutal or absolutely appealing. I'm not sure. Ponies. It's on Now TV and Sky.
Yeah. Jury's kind of still out on this one. So the basic...
Highly implausible.
like wildly implausible. But they handle that quite deftly in as much as you can. Where basically the premise is explained in the kind of the credits at the start, and a person of interest, obviously, in terms of, and this is a person of no interest.
So the POI as opposed to a PONI.
Yes, exactly. So these two women who are played by Emilia Clarke and Hayley Lou Richardson, and interestingly, Emilia Clarke, by the creators of the show, was given the option to play either character. So they're Americans in Moscow. Their husbands, they originally think, are working for the kind of diplomatic arm. Turns out they're in the CIA. They get killed. This is all in the first kind of 5 minutes, right? And the women then decide to sign up to become the CIA agents, but with the idea being that sure, no one, the KGB would never think that a woman would be an agent. Now, their reasons for getting involved are actually not what the CIA think it is. It's because they want to find out what actually happened to their husbands. It's beautiful. It's like really cool the way it's shot. It's very 70s spy thriller. There's slide screens, there's yellow text on the screen, and it's all shot in that very kind of filmic way. Costuming is fantastic. Energy between the two actresses is excellent as well. And it's kind of part buddy cop, part feminist manifesto, despite the premise.
Okay. Yeah or nay?
Enjoying it so far.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say give it a bash.
Okay. All right. What's your Kylie choice this week, Serena?
I know. I'm going to have to find something for next week because last week we spoke all about the documentary. So if you're like, I need more of a Kylie fix, they have just released Kylie Tension Tour Live. So this was her Tension Tour last year. It ran for 8 months from, started in Perth in Australia, ended in Mexico City. There were 66 dates. I thought this is 2 hours long. If you're a Kylie fan, you'll love it. I thought maybe because I'd come off. Yeah.
Well, see, you want to be a big fan.
Well, you'd have to be a big fan. And yeah. I thought
there's enough of those for Kylie, though.
There are.
By the way, can I just say, speaking of time, Power Ballad is 1 hour, 35 minutes. The Hallelujah.
Dream. The dream. Yeah. The dream.
Thank you, John Carney.
Yeah, we need
And
more.
Peter McDonald, who co-wrote it. We should mention that. Sorry, go back to Kylie.
Kylie doesn't give you 90 minutes. But I thought because it was 2 hours and because they're talking about, you know, you go behind the scenes, there'd be lots more behind the scenes with Kylie. There's not a lot. You get a little bit at the start where she's, you know, prepping for the concert in Melbourne. As an Australian, I'm really disappointed that a lot of the Australian shows didn't make it. But that show
I said this to you last week as well. Is it because Kylie is fundamentally a bit dull?
I don't think so.
Every interview I ever see with her, I think she's a snore fest.
I think she's guarded and I think she's right to be so. She's one of the only artists I think she might be the only artist who's gone to number one in five consecutive decades because she started off so young.
That doesn't make her interesting, though.
No. But if you look at the different genres that she has dipped her toe into, the relationships that she has had, I think there's much deeper waters there than people might necessarily give her credit for.
You're not going to get it in this if you just want to see a little bit of the behind the scenes. What you do get from this, it is incredibly done. You feel that buzz. It actually feels like you're there watching it, like in that audience. It jumps off the screen. The kids this morning came down and was like, whoa, what's all that loud noise in here? I was watching it and dancing.
Where is it on again? Tell us.
It's Netflix. Netflix. Available now.
Okay. Is this thing on D? I like the sound of it, I have to say.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's absolutely superb. It is basically... It's
a movie rather than
Yeah. It is just landed to... I saw it in the cinema and I actually rewatched it. I had enjoyed it that much. It's just landed on Disney+. It's actually inspired by John Bishop's autobiography biography of how he became a stand-up comedian after his marriage was on the rocks. And it is directed by Bradley Cooper, who also plays a small role in it. Laura Dern plays the ex-wife. And then you have Will Arnett, who is just superb in the main role. It is absolutely fantastic.
So he's a financier, but he just has a go. He does an open mic or something. And
exactly. He's always been funny. He's depressed because of what's going on with his marriage. And he just takes a whim one evening and gets up at an open mic night. And Will Arnett, I think, just has such a good number on playing depressed but ultimately really attractive alcoholic men. He does it really, really well in this in particular. And I think there's always that kind of bittersweet thing of how his real life relationship with Amy Poehler ended. But what I really loved about this, Shane, was the fact that Laura Dern's character, which in a different decade or in different hands than Bradley Cooper, could have ended up being very one note or very tropish. She is a brilliant character. She is superbly played and really, really well rounded. It becomes their story as opposed to just his, and it's fantastic.
Okay, Disney Plus?
Disney Plus.
Is this thing on?
That's okay. The one.
All right, brilliant stuff. Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist, D Ready, podcaster, and cultural commentator. Thanks indeed for those recommendations.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.